Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18. We are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle.
Saul is mad at David for no reason. David did not do anything wrong to Saul. David tried to help Saul, because the Goliath was trying to harass the children of Israel, and there was nobody to defeat the Goliath. David took courage and he killed the Goliath. Not only that, he cut his head off and showed it to the Saul. And Saul should be happy, but Saul is jealous. But his son, Jonathan, he says he loved David as his soul. That means he loved him as he loves himself. And not only that, he tried to make a covenant with David, and he tells him that, I love you as I love myself. And their friendship was godly, spiritual friendship. And sometimes people thinking Jonathan and David was maybe same age, but they were not same age. Jonathan was much older than David. But somehow God puts the love of God in Jonathan's heart. Jonathan saw David is a warrior, and he cannot compete with David. Somehow God gave him grace to be humble, because God already anointed David when he was almost 17, 18 years old. But nobody knew that David is going to be king. But Saul had the doubt that sometime he might take my kingdom away. Even the Samuel told him, your kingdom is already gone. But he didn't know who will be the next king. And so Jonathan makes the covenant with David and tells him, I love you so much. Verse 4.
And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle.
David did not ask him, if you love me, show me your love with some kind of gift I need, or something, proof I need. But Jonathan said, listen, you are a good warrior. I am not that good warrior. So he took all the kingly or prince clothes or military clothes, gave it to the David. He gave his all the armors, and he gave also his sword and whatever they tied to their waist, the belt, and everything what needed for the soldier, he gave to the David. Now, David didn't say, I don't need it. First time, if you remember, when Saul gave him all his stuff and said, you're going to kill the Goliath, you need all this armor. At that time, David said, I don't need it. But now David is a little bit stronger, little bit older, and he knew how to use this clothes and sword and everything. So David didn't say, I don't want it, but he took it. Verse 5.
And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants.
When David got all this military clothes and sword, David was very strong, going and destroying enemies. He was very, very soft with Saul as well as his servants. Means everybody loved David. He was not fighting with anyone. He was not envy. He was not jealous. He was very humble man, friendly man, and he was having friendship with everyone, and everyone loved him. Verse 6.
And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music.
Now, here we see when they're coming from slaughter. Actually, it's David coming, and I don't know, Saul was with the army. But when they're coming from the battle, the girls start singing. And when they start singing, everybody should be happy. This was their routine. When the people go for war and they win battle, they will dance and they will praise God and glorify God. Just like Miriam did it when they came from Egypt and Egyptian armies were defeated. Miriam start taking tambourine and start dancing and praising God. The same way these girls are doing it. So Saul and other people should be happy. But see what happens. Verse 7.
And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.
Now here is saying Saul had slain his thousands. He didn't say thousands. And they said David has 10,000s. What Saul is thinking, they're thinking together. If you Saul and David goes to fight together, they can win 10,000s of people in a one battle. So these are good warriors, and they didn't have any jealousy. They didn't think anything that Saul will be thinking. Let's see verse 8.
And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?
If this thinking, he's destroying 10,000s, and I'm doing only thousands, so that means he's going to be automatically king. People love him more than me, so what he has, he doesn't have kingdom yet. But that's the only thing he's missing. But he's getting all the glory and everything. And so he got more jealous. See, jealousy is a very bad thing. When you start having jealousy on somebody and keep on dwelling on that, you can kill somebody. You can destroy somebody. So this is what's happening. When Saul heard these things, he start thinking, we should get rid of David so they will be honoring me and praising me. I will be a great man, that David is troublemaker and I want to get rid of him. Let's read the verse 9.
And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
Now, here we see, Saul was an anointed man. When Samuel anointed him with oil, made him a king, and he told him, when you go, we'll see the group of people, they are prophets. And they are going to prophesy, and you're going to prophesy with them. And that exactly happened, and people start thinking, is a Saul also a prophet? So he was a good man. He was glorifying God and everything. But now, when the David was anointed, Saul's anointing left. And the evil spirit came and start bugging him. But now in this verse 10, it says evil spirit came upon him and he started prophesying in his house. Now somebody will say, how come? He got an evil spirit, and what kind of prophecy he's doing? Prophecy It means a preaching. Prophecy means foretelling what God is saying. But now this man is a crazy man. He got angry at David. He is trying to kill David. In his heart, he already planned to kill David. And now when he is filled with the evil spirit and start prophesying in his house. Actually, what he was saying something to himself. Maybe David is a bad person. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to say something. And he was talking to himself. And so the people, whoever they were in his house, they started thinking he might be prophesying. But he was not prophesying. Now somebody will say, how come the evil spirit came upon him and they say he is prophesying? The devil is a liar and he is a deceiver. He can deceive people and let other people think that he is doing God's work. But actually, he was in the demon's influence, and whatever he said it in his house. He said it to himself. Maybe his servant or somebody heard it. But the word of God says, how can you know the person is good? Jesus says, if a tree is good, the fruit should be good. If the fruit is good, then tree is good. If the fruit is bad, tree is bad. So now we see, if he prophesied the spiritual things, a godly thing, then you can see the fruit of God in him. But what he is doing with the evil spirit and saying something, or the evil spirit tells him to do something, you know, some people when they are angry, they talk to themselves. That's what's happening here. David was helping him. David came to know this man got an evil spirit and he's mumbling or doing something. So David went to play the harp. When he was playing the harp, trying to help Saul to calm down. But instead of calming down, what he's doing, he's trying to kill him. Let's read the verse 11.
And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice.
He was in the evil spirit. He was talking to himself. And what he was might be saying, I am going to kill David. And David minding his business. But when he said, I'm going to kill David, and as soon as he took javelin, David ran away. And God protected David from the Saul's hand. See, devil is always doing wrong things. What the Bible says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we know that evil spirit came on Saul to kill David. And so David ran away, not once, but twice. Verse 12.
And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people.
Here we see when God protected David and Saul was not able to kill him, he got surprised. Why in the small distance I could not kill him and he saved himself? So he thought God is with him, God is protecting him, and so he got fear in his heart. What he might be thinking, David is younger than me, he is a good warrior, I tried to kill him, he can take revenge and he can kill me. So that's the kind of fear he got. The word of God says, God does not give you the spirit of fear, but he gives you power, love, and sound mind. But see, opposite is happening to Saul. He has no sound mind, and he doesn't have a love of God, and so he is afraid, and he is fearful, and he is trying to destroy his own army soldiers. So now he got an idea. I cannot kill him. Let him go and fight with the enemies, and the Philistine people might kill him. He promoted him. He said, now you should be a captain of 1,000. So So now you go and fight. And he's thinking, if he goes and fights with the Philistines, then they will kill him. I don't have to worry. But he doesn't know, if God protects you, nobody can kill you. He's thinking wrong, and he is always thinking that somehow David should be killed. And if you're wishing somebody to do something wrong can happen to you. Okay, verse 14.
And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him.
Now again he's saying, David was a wise man. He behaved very wisely. He was not proud, even though he was the captain of 1,000. He was not bragging. He was humble. But the Saul is afraid of David. And he's thinking, how I can get rid of him. Verse 16.
But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them.
Now, here is simply said, David going and fighting with enemies and coming. And when he's coming, he is not proud, but he's friendly, maybe saluting everybody and saying hello to everybody. So he says there are two groups of people, Judas and Israel. So he said all Judas people start loving David and all Israeli people start loving David. So that means they might be hating Saul. Saul is trying to destroy David. Now if David found out, these people, they love me, it was very easy for David to destroy the Saul and take his kingdom because he is already anointed. But see how he's waiting for his timing. He had a lot of patience. Okay, verse 17.
And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.
Now again he's trying to trick David. He's saying, you know, I promise you, if somebody kills Goliath, I'll give my daughter. Now how many months and years pass? He's going for war and he's winning many battles, but he never told him, hey, I promise you to give my daughter, so I'm sorry, I want to give my daughter. But now he's thinking, you know what, I'm going to trick him, and when I say I'll give my daughter, he might be doing more hard work. So he says, only thing, David, what you have to do, I'll give my daughter to you, and you go and be more violent, kill more people, and then I'll be very pleased. I don't need any dowry. So the David is thinking, you know what? I'm a poor guy. I don't need his daughter. I'm not even worthy. But see what the king is doing. Verse 18.
And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life for my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife.
Now see what he did? He tricked David. He told him, I'll give my daughter. He might be working hard to please the king because he doesn't have any money. When the time appointed came, just like he told him, next week, such and such a day, I'll give my daughter. But he's looking forward and he gives his daughter to somebody else. But David supposed to be angry. But David was not angry because he was not fall in love with his daughter. And according to their custom, they have to give the older first daughter to David, just like Laban gave his first daughter to Jacob. Now he was going to give his first daughter, but somehow David was maybe not interested in her, because David liked his younger daughter, but he never told anybody. When they gave the older daughter to somebody else, then the younger girl started thinking, now is my chance, because he was going to marry my older sister, and now she's married to somebody else. I will get chance to marry David. So she fall in love with David means she's maybe telling David, I like you or I love you or whatever. They figure it out. Not only David, but all the people surrounding Saul's servants and other people, they came to know. Let's read verse 20.
And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him.
Now here he saw other people are coming and saying, hey, you gave your daughter to somebody else, but do you know your daughter loves David? And so they are going to get married anyhow. If you don't give him your daughter, somehow she might get married. So he said, oh, that's a good idea. If my daughter loves him, I will give my daughter to him. But that younger daughter may be very friendly with father also. So he thought, my daughter is very loving and very kind. So I'm going to tell her, you better get rid of your husband. He thought it's a good idea. First time he thought he can go and fight with the enemy and so he will get killed. It didn't happen. Now he's thinking, if I give my daughter, she will be snared to him. She will bother him because she's my daughter. She loves me so much, so she can destroy my enemy. So see what happens. Verse 21.
And Saul said, I will give him to her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines.
Now see, here again, Saul is tricking him. He says, okay, you can marry my daughter. David says, well, I'm a poor guy, I'm a shepherd boy, we don't have money to give dowry and cannot marry your daughter like that. But he tells his servants, go and tell David secretly that, you know what? You don't have to give any dowry. You are a good warrior. You have to just go and take the 100 foreskins of the Philistine people. They are our enemy anyhow. And he will give you his daughter. He says, that will be your dowry. David thought, that's a good idea. I'm killing these people anyhow. So I'm going to get my wife that I have done something to get my wife. So he was excited. Saul is thinking, you have to go and get the 100 people's foreskin. All of those people, some of them can kill him. So that his idea was, before he gets married, let him get killed. So he can give his daughter to somebody else. That's what he was thinking. But see what happens. Verse 26.
And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife.
Now see, as soon as king said, get the 100 foreskin, he said, well, I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. The same day, he called his friends, because he was a captain of thousands now, so he can just tell the people, hey, let's go and we have a job to do. And he asked 100, they got 200 and gave it to him. So now Saul cannot say, I cannot give my daughter, so he gave it, his daughter, to David. So now still Saul is not satisfied. He's trying to tell his daughter secretly, maybe, you know, one of these days we are going to kill him and you have to help me. That kind of father is a dangerous man, because you have to tell your daughter, you married, you better love your husband, take care of him because we don't want any divorce. We don't want any problem. You love your husband and love husband's family and take care of it. And so he was not telling her that, but he was trying to destroy her husband. Okay, verse 28.
And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually.
Now see, even though he saw his daughter loves him so much, but he said somehow the bitterness didn't go out of his heart. He is still thinking, how I can kill David. Verse 30.
Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by.
David getting more famous, and enemies are afraid of him. Israeli people love him. Judah people love him. So the David is getting more famous. And everybody came to know that David is a strong man, good man, and a good son-in-law. He loves his father-in-law. He never showed hatred. Very kind to everyone, including his wife and father-in-law and Israeli people and everyone. Chapter finishes there. We go to the 1 Samuel chapter 19, starting from verse 1.
And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David.
He's telling maybe his daughter is not doing anything. So now he's telling his son. He says, we have to kill David. Jonathan is a good man. Jonathan, as we already learned, Jonathan loved David like his own self. So see what the Jonathan's reaction is, verse 2.
But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself.
Jonathan tells David, his father says, I'm going to kill him. So he goes and tells him, you know what, my father is very angry. He might kill you. So you go and hide. So what I'm going to do, my father loves me. He listens to me. So I'm going to go and try to convince him. And if he says, okay, I'm not going to kill you, then you can come back. But if he wants to kill you, then you can run away. That's the plan. He said, you hide, I'll come and tell you what my father's reaction is. Verse 3.
And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good.
Now he's trying to convince his father, what David did to you. David didn't do any harm to you. He loves you. He's a good man. Why are you trying to kill innocent person? Verse 5.
For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain.
He goes, convinces his father, tells all the story. You remember, Goliath was trying to fight with us, and you were not able to kill him. David put his life in danger. He went and killed Goliath, and he's since that time until today, he is fighting and fighting and fighting and winning battles, and he loves you. He talks good about you. We never heard a one single word against you. Not a single person can say he's saying something bad about your father-in-law. So he's talking good about you. Why are you trying to kill him? So he made sense to his father, and his father says, okay, I promise as the Lord liveth. Means he's saying, I promise in front of God. Our God, God never dies. So God is always there to witness. So he said, I am making a promise in front of God. I will never kill him. Now see, some people make promises, but their promises are false promises. I don't know he was telling from heart or he was trying to make Jonathan happy. So he said, tell him, I'm not going to kill him. I promise in front of God that I'm not going to kill him. So now Jonathan has to believe what Father said, and he goes to David and tells him the same thing. Verse 6.
And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night.
Here he promised, I'm not going to kill him. David was happy. David went to his usual work, start going and fighting the battles and coming, and he thought, now at least he's not going to kill me. But again, when David is helping him, playing the music and things like that, he again start to kill him. This is not easy thing for David. If somebody trying to kill you, do you feel safe in that house? No. But David has no freedom. If he goes somewhere, he can kill him. So David is trying to please him as much as he can. But now David says, I'm going to run away from this. But he makes some kind of promise to him. Say, okay, now you don't have to stay in my house. You are afraid of me. And when you are here, I attempt to kill you. So what you have to do now, you have to go and stay outside and keep on battling and keep on destroying the enemies. So he is trying to say, you will be safe. I'm not killing you. But at the same time, he's thinking, let the enemy kill him. Verse 11.
Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped.
Now, what happened here, even the Saul promised, I'm not going to kill you. And he said, David, now you go out, you may be warrior. But at the same time, now he is not living in his house. He's a married man. He lives with his wife. They might have their own apartment or house or palace. Now he tells his servants, go and watch over his house. That means you watch over him. Tomorrow morning we are going to kill him. So the whole night they are going to watch. And somehow, maybe he told his daughter, you better keep David busy and don't tell him that I'm going to kill him. And we are going to kill him. The warriors, they are guarding the house. Now, they thought, you know, if David has to run somewhere, he's going to run from the door. David would have said, you know what? I'm running. This time I'm not going to run. If he comes to my house, I'm going to kill him. If any soldiers, they want to kill me, let them kill me. I can take care of myself. Because all people, they love David. All the military officers and everybody, even his son. So he didn't have the fear. But his daughter tells him, you know what? This is the plan. My father is going to kill you. So to save yourself, run. So she maybe made a rope or something and told him to go through the window, and he ran away. See what happens, verse 13.
And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth.
The daughter got the idea. They are going to come and they are going to ask me, where is your husband, where is David? So she made an arrangement. You go, and she put maybe some kind of statue or some stuffed animal or whatever, and made like a person sleeping on this bed, and put a goat hair on his head and everything, and kept everything ready in case they come. And so now what the father does, let's read the verse 14.
And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick.
Now he sends the people, bring the David here. She tells the message to father, Daddy, my husband is sick. She thought he might have some compassion. Anyhow, he's my husband. I have to take care of my husband. And now he's a sick man, so what my father will do? He might have some compassion. But see, this man was so much angry, he didn't care. You know, some people go to the hospital and kill people? That's why the hospital has security guard. Otherwise, there is no need of security guard at the hospital. People are sick. But when the people are sick and weak, that's the time enemy comes to go to hospital and kill some people. That's why you have to go to hospital. Some of the hospital now, they take your picture, they give picture ID and your signature and everything and the timing, what time you came and things like that. So the people will not go and kill somebody. So now she's, my husband is sick. See what the Saul says. Verse 15.
And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me into the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee?
Now, see, the Saul says, he's sick, bring him as the sick man. And so I don't know what they did, or they told him that we came here and there is no person, he's all a dummy, and things like that. Or they took the body there and then Saul found out. It's not clear. But somehow Saul came to know this is a dummy, it's not a David, and he got so angry, and he's saying to her, why did you allow my enemy to escape? She would have said, I love David, and he's my husband. I'm supposed to take care of him. But she's telling him differently. She said, you know what? What David says, why I have to kill you? That means, if you don't let me go, I'll kill you. So she said, I want to save my life. That's why I let the David go. And he might be very angry, or he wants to kill my daughter, so I'm going to kill him. So anyhow, his daughter tried to save David's life, tried to lie to father, and tried to make him safe to go somewhere. But her father is still very mad. Verse 18.
So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth.
Now see what David did. David start thinking, wherever I go, if I go to my house, he knows my house, he will come. If I go anywhere, he will send some people, bring me out. I will be only safe with Samuel. And you remember what Samuel said? Samuel said, I'm not going to see you anymore. And so there was no communication between Saul and Samuel. But the Samuel was busy. He had so many prophets, and he had the school of prophets in this place. And that place, all these prophets were dwelling. So this was like a prophet school. So David goes there and tells Samuel, you know what, this is what's happened. And he is trying to kill me. So David thought, if I stay with Samuel, he won't be harming me because he is afraid of Samuel. So see what happens. Saul starts sending some people to bring David from Samuel's place. See what happens. Verse 19.
And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also.
Now see what happened? These people went to bring David so that Saul can kill him. But when these people are praising God and thanking God and some revival meeting happening, people are speaking in, prophesying. They were not at that time speaking in tongue. But they were praising God and glorifying God, and the atmosphere was so holy. The warrior went to bring David. They start prophesying and they start praising God, and they never came back. So what happened? They turned to be like, prophets. So he said, hey, send some more people. The second time he sent a group of people, they start praising and thanking God and glorifying God. They never came back. So then he sent the third group. They people went there and they start prophesying. They start praising God and they became spiritual. They never came back. So the Saul is a little bit angry. He didn't know what was happening. Simply, the people never came back, and some people might be thinking, those people became so spiritual. They're praising God and thanking God, and Samuel has the group of all these prophets, and these people join with them, and they are not coming. So Saul said, okay, then I'm going to go. So Saul goes. Let's read the verse 22.
Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great wall, and came to a great well that is in Shechem. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
Now see what happened to him. He went there thinking that he's going to kill him. But as soon as he went there, and the atmosphere was so heavy, people were praising God and glorifying God, the Spirit of God came back to him, and he started praising God and glorifying God. And he started thinking, I'm a king. I don't want this king's clothes. He tore the clothes and put the clothes away and fell on the ground whole day and night, praising God and glorifying God. See how God does. God can change any person. This man was angry, he was frustrated, he wanted to kill David, but the atmosphere changed Saul for that particular time. I heard there was a revival was going on in the early days, and when the people were praising God and glorifying God, if somebody going on the street, they get convicted and they start coming in the church, and they start giving their lives to God. From this we know, when the people are praising and praying to God, no enemy can attack you. Nobody can destroy you. The Spirit of God keeps the hedge of protection. You remember that devil could not go and do any harm to Job, because he said he was very righteous, very spiritual, and so he had the hedge of protection. So we don't have to worry about any enemies. If we are praising God and glorifying God and living for God, God will watch for you. Now this is the king. He has the army. He sent there not one or two people, a group of armies, and they transformed to be prophet. He sent the second batch. They transformed to be prophet. He sent the third batch. They became prophet. Now he goes, and he became prophet, and he started prophesying. God is always protecting his people. We don't have to live in fear and anxiety. When you are godly, nobody can destroy you. When I was in India, many people, not only outsider, but the Christian people were against me, because nominal Christian, when I tell them, you have to be baptized, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, those are the people more enemy to me. And I told you once, I was just preaching. I didn't know there is an enemy there, because all these villagers, they were listening. And when I was talking to them, one man went to the haystack, the big pile-up stack, and I was standing there. So he went there, and he took a knife, and he started coming, but when I was preaching, I was moving back and forth. So when I moved, he fell in front of me, the knife in his hand. So all those people tried to arrest him. I said, let him go. My timing was not that time to die. So God protected me. And then what happened? People said, let's stop the meeting. because this boy might have a group of people and they might come and destroy us. So he ran, but actually he ran and tried to get 10, 15 people to join with him to kill us. So we closed the meeting, and that time almost midnight, 1 o'clock or so. So we went. At that time, we didn't have anywhere to go because all the buses and everything closed. But now we have to run for our life. So we are going on the highway, and one truck is coming very highway speed. There is no signal, nothing. So I went there and stood stopping that the truck. The man, he said, "What do you want to do? Are you killing yourself?" I said, "Sir, we don't have any bus or things like that. We are the children of God, and we want to go to certain place. Can you take us?" He said, "Oh, I'm going that way." So all the people sat in that truck, empty truck, and all these people are rushing, coming with the knives and sword, and say, "Hold on, wait a minute. But then the truck took away, and they were not able to do any harm to us. This is just one example I'm telling you. So what I'm trying to say, when you're doing the Lord's work, there are enemy trying to trap you, to kill you, or destroy you. Just think that we went out of that village, and you're starting on the highway. We don't have sword, we don't have gun, we don't have anything. And the 10, 15 people coming against you, they can kill all of your believers and kill you. But God sent the truck on time. They stopped the truck, and they took us, and we came home. Saul sent so many people to kill him. God did not allow those people to kill David. Saul goes himself. God did not allow Saul to kill him, but Saul also was transformed for the short period of time. And the chapter finishes there. So you can see, so if God can protect David, and God can protect me, he can protect you. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. You are so loving and so kind. The enemy comes like a flood, brings all kinds of devices, trying to destroy us. We have belonged to you. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. Increase our faith. Bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. Bless your people, touch them, heal them, deliver them, and set them free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.